Hey, hey, me and the other Scott M are here to talk about Adrift and American Animals. Did they make the grade? Is it smooth sailing? Stay tuned and find out. Well, hello, Mr.
Hello.
Scott. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm energized today for some reason. I don't know.
Well, welcome back to Black Tomatoes, y'all. I am Carla Renata, and with me is my co-host,
Scott Menzel.
Hey, hey.
Happy to be back.
Oh, look at you. You are like, wee.
Woo,
like,
I don't know. It was the,
Is it the new glasses, maybe?
It's the new glasses. It's the fact that I had lunch right before this. I'm ready to rock and
You're
roll.
You ready to rock and roll? Alrighty then. Well, we had a couple of movies come out this week. One of them I had an opportunity to see at Sundance. Did you see this?
Yes, I did. I also saw it at Sundance.
So when I saw this at Sundance, the only reason I was going to see it at Sundance is because there was such a buzz about it and everybody was just so incredibly excited about it. And it's based on a true story. So before we get into it, let's take a look at this little bit of the trailer. Or listen to the little bit of the trailer.
It's American Animals.
This library is home to the most valuable book in the United States.
$12 million. You really need to see how easy this is going to be.
Oh, you know this from all your previous heists?
Can I just say how dumb this entire thing is?
How do you know no one's gonna get hurt?
Now, see, this is the thing about this movie.
Yeah.
This movie was, I wasn't sure what I was walking into, but then once it started, I was kind of in for the ride. I was really excited about the ride. It was kind of like, the thing that made me laugh, well, let me just say what the film is. The film is American. I know I'm talking. The film is American Animals, as Scott whispered into the microphone a little while ago. It's called American Animals, and it's about these four college friends who decide, have this brilliant, bright idea not to do a heist and grab one of the most expensive, most valuable books in the world, the Audubon book, from their college collection room. So that's what the premise of the film is. Can I just tell you how hard I tee-hee-heed when they had VHS tape? First of all, it was a VHS tape.
Yeah.
When they had VHS tape after VHS tape watching every heist movie known to man, that made me holler out loud. And then the other thing that made me holler out loud were those busted disguises that they put together.
Oh, my God.
Like, who was going to believe that these 20-something people were like 80-year-old men with white hair and hats and glasses? Nobody. That made me laugh. But what didn't make me laugh was the fact that they kind of sort of got away with it. And the other thing that I liked about it is the fact that the director kind of weaved in, he's a documentary director as well, known for documentaries as well. And he had a tendency to weave the real life people in with the people that were portraying them in the film. That was actually fascinating to me because I'd never really seen that done that way before. So that actually kind of kept my attention. I think if the film had just been a redux of what this event was with them doing the heist, I don't think I would have been as invested in
that movie. Interesting, because I would say that's what took me out of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I love that.
I thought, like, when they put the real-life characters in the movie, especially there's a scene in a car, and they're talking to each other, I it's very confusing to me. I didn't know how it fit, and I feel like it was jarring in a way to me. Yeah. Again, this is at Sundance where I saw this, and it's like we see, what, 20, 30 movies a festival. You know, I love the idea behind this. I mean, it's outrageous. Whenever you see a true story movie, which seems like so dumb, you're like, there's no way that this is true.
Right. There's no way that somebody could make that up. Like, how could you make that up?
I know. And that's what was fascinating about it. And I think that the four guys in this movie were just really strong in their performances. But the real world kind of people coming into it, I think what it was for me was that it wasn't consistent enough. And it kind of came at, like, when they put the real people in this movie,
okay.
right?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like it was set up in a way where they fit all the time. Like, they were just, they would just appear.
That's, but no, I don't think so. I think they would, I think when they did appear, they appeared to kind of like, it was almost like a double jolt of solidifying the point that was trying to be made in that moment. That's what I
so
took away from
it. So you took it as like the...
like punctuation on it, you know what I mean? That's what I took it to mean.
Okay.
That's the way I saw it.
I mean, this movie's fine. I mean, I had no real issues with it. Mm-hmm. I just thought for doing that, it was a little different. But it's also maybe because I haven't seen that before mm-hmm. in many movies. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't expecting it, mm-hmm. and I didn't know how to react to it.
But that's a good thing.
It is.
Because
it is.
How many times do we see movies where... How many times have we said in the 14 weeks that we've been doing this show that we've seen stuff before? We've seen a formula before. We've seen an outcome before. We've seen the way a movie has started before. So this actually was refreshing to not know how it was going to go, why it was going to go, when it was, like, that was kind of cool. I enjoyed that. All right. So there's that. And then the next one that we want to talk about is Adrift.
Yes.
Adrift stars Shailene Woodley, and we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago as well. Remember, I can't remember what week it was, but remember there was a week where I was saying that a lot of these Hollywood stars are starting to produce, write, and direct their yes. own films. She did not write Adrift, but she did. She is one of the producers on the film, and she's starring in it. And, you know, Shailene Woodley, for me, is one of those unlikely movies, like, she's a movie star. She really kind of is, in a very odd, sensical way, the same way that Deborah Winger was with An Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah.
Like, when An Officer and a Gentleman came out, you were like, okay, she's cute, but is she really a movie star? And then you were like, yeah, she kind of is. And then she kind of carried that, whatever that aura is, whatever that energy is that she has, that she exudes, she carried it from one film and one character to the next. And I find that Shailene Woodley does the same thing as well. But before we get into a real in-depth discussion about it. let's listen to a little bit of the trailer real quick.
I've been to so many places. What's it like selling out their own love?
Miserable. You're either sunburnt, sleep deprived, or seasick. Mm. And after a few days, there's the hallucinations.
Why do you do it?
It's a feeling. It's intense. It's just you and the infinite horizon. We must be a sailor too, I take it.
I don't know that I would consider myself a sailor.
Oh, come on.
Not like you.
You are. Do you want to take her out?
Right now?
Anytime. You think you might want to go sailing with me?
And that's where the adventure begins,
that's
my
right.
people. So actually, the film gives you a clue into what's about to go down.
Right.
When he says, when he talks about what happens when you're stuck out at sea for a few days. I didn't catch that when I was watching the movie, but when I looked at the trailer, I was like, oh shoot, the clue was right there in front of me the whole time. The thing that I loved about this movie is Shailene Woodley. Shailene Woodley, for me, is the saving grace for this film.
Yes.
I think if it was anybody else but her, it'd be like womp, womp, womp time. You know what I mean?
We are 100% agree on this.
I can't believe we are just like on point today.
We are on point today. Shailene Woodley is incredible. I mean, this is a girl who started off on like a ABC family TV show, Secret
yes.
Life of American Teenager.
Yeah, she did.
And, you know, she did The Descendants with George Clooney.
She got an Oscar nomination
for
that.
My God, she was fantastic in that movie. And, you know, she did a lot of independent films. And
Divergent.
Yeah, and then she did that franchise. Mm-hmm. And that franchise, like most of the gifted actors, kind of like hurt her for a little bit
mm-hmm.
because and they were not successful mm-hmm. whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even make the last movie. The last movie was completely pulled. There was supposed to be four. They didn't finish it.
Oops.
Yep, because the box office just kept going like this for those movies. And then they were gonna make it into a TV series, and then it just dropped.
Mm.
But Woodley is just incredible. And with this performance, I mean, this movie rides on her. I mean, this is her baby.
Yeah. I mean, her sailing skills.
Yeah.
I was just like, the whole time I'm watching the movie, I'm like, okay, did she know how to do this already, or did she go and train for it? And I found out that she spent like 6 months ahead of time training for it. But honey, I could have trained for that for the rest of my life and still not been able to pull that off like she did. She pulled that off like it was a second skin for her. And, you know, I was a little flabbergasted and taken aback at how surprised I was at her skill set with this particular film and character. It was off the chart.
Not only that, I mean, watching her in this film, just the dirt, like she gets dirty in the movie. You can tell as the movie goes on, like if you're looking at her face, it gets sunken in. Like by the end of the movie, like she's not a big girl by any stretch of the imagination. She's thin as can be as it is.
Yeah, she is, but she's
tall.
But
my God, like by the end of the movie, her face is all sunken in, and she's dirty. Oh my God,
she's dirty. She's sunken in. but she is like getting them survival skills in when she goes down in the boat and she's pumping that water out. Like, who has enough common sense with a gash in their head to know to do that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, girl, you better go ahead with your bad self, because I was like, I can't even find enough adjectives to describe how much I loved her in this movie. No offense to her leading man.
No, no.
But it was seriously all about her.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Claflin, you know, he's always lovable. I mean, that's if that guy has
and
one
he's
thing
easy
going
on the eyes,
he,
too.
One thing going for that man is he has died in like five different movies at this point. And I swear, like, he is just, you always fall for him. You're always in love with him, whether you're a male or a female. It's just like that guy is just charming as hell.
He is.
And him and Shailene have amazing chemistry.
Yes, they do.
Almost instantaneously.
Yes.
And I do want to bring this up because I did an interview with the real Tammy.
Tammy Oldman.
who this movie is based on. Mm-hmm. Which was very nice also to see.
Another true story film.
Right, another true story film. But what was nice about this movie is a lot of it was very authentic. It was pretty much how the story played out. There were some things that were done at Liberty for the movie,
right.
Obviously, because if it
to,
really happened.
Yeah,
yeah. But Sam Claflin, she was saying, looks
just like the real Richard. Yeah.
She was saying she got goosebumps like when she saw him.
Yeah, I read that she said when she met him that he reminded her so much of Richard. And I can't imagine. Did you ask her how it felt for her to watch her story on screen? Has she seen it yet?
She did. She said, you know, when I talk to someone when they make their own story into a movie, I said, how much rights did you give them? Like, how much say did you have? And she said she had like a couple things that she didn't want to be put into the movie, mm-hmm. and they listened to her, mm-hmm. but she worked very closely with the director and the two of them. Mm-hmm. And they Skyped and they did everything to make sure that it was as authentic as possible.
Well,
and she was very happy with the end result of the movie.
It was really good. And let's just talk about the fact that they filmed this movie on the water.
Yes.
three quarters of the time. That there are very few scenes that take place on land. Most of this film, because most of these water films, like The Perfect Storm and Titanic and a couple of others that I can mention, most of those films were done in a water tank somewhere, right? This film was done on the ocean, 12, 14-hour days on the ocean. You can see on Shailene's skin at some point starts to look a little leathery, you know, like most people do when they've been in the sun too long. I don't know if that was her skin looking like that or if that was a makeup person that made her skin look like that.
It looked authentic.
If a makeup person did that, yeah. They got down. They did their job and then some, because her skin looked a little tough, like a piece of leather, but that's what people look like when they're
in the sun all day long.
But let me just tell you something. So when I watched this film, the first thing that came to mind is something that you do not know about me. So back in the day, I used to do USO tours, and I went overseas to entertain the troops. And one of the stops that we had was in the middle of the Indian Ocean to three aircraft carriers. So I was like, okay, an aircraft carrier. I didn't know anything about it. When they explained to me how the aircraft carrier how the plane has to land on the aircraft carrier in order for us to get off the plane to entertain the troops. If that cable that's on the aircraft carrier doesn't catch underneath that plane in just the right manner, the plane slides right off into the ocean. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So if the cable on the aircraft carrier does not snatch that plane in the right way, you just keep going into the ocean.
God. Okay.
Right. So they waited to tell me this until we got on the chopper. I'm like, really? So y'all gonna tell me that now? Okay, that's not cute. But once we were on the aircraft carrier, so that didn't happen to us. And once we got on the aircraft carrier, we had to be lowered down into like some little lifeboats to go around to the other two aircraft carriers that we had to perform on. It was in that moment that I realized I have a real fear of water, because the water was is hot, a little bit higher up than this table is that we're sitting at. Like, it was almost at eye level, almost. And I'm just like, and then I realize I'm in a body of water where there is no bottom. This is not a swimming pool.
Right.
This is the ocean. How do I feel about this? I'm not having this. And I had like a little bit of a panic attack. The minute I saw that film and saw that big wave of water coming over, I immediately went back to that time that I was on that aircraft carrier. It almost makes me cry, because I was truly, 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 truly frightened. Truly frightened. So I wasn't in that film with her, and I wasn't stuck at sea. But when I tell you, ooh, that's not a good feeling. Have you ever been out in the middle of the ocean like that?
No, it's actually, it's surprising, because that's one thing that Ashley has done that I haven't. Even on like a cruise or something. Like, I've never even done that yet.
You haven't done a cruise?
I have not been on a cruise.
I've worked
so, like, I have too. Never been in the middle. I mean, I've done a little bit of a boat trip when I lived in New Jersey, where I went on a friend's boat, but it wasn't that far out. You know, it was a couple miles out. It wasn't anywhere in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, I still have issues with water, by the way, because one of my milestone birthdays, my girlfriends took me out to go whale watching, because I kept yelling that I wanted to do it. So they grabbed me and took me to go whale watching. When I tell you, I was sick which surprised me, because I worked on a cruise ship for months, like 6 months, 9 months at a time. I never got seasick, never, ever, wow. ever. And now I'm on this boat or whatever it is in the Pacific out there by Marina Del Rey, and I'm looking at whales, and I was sick as a dog. Like, I think I got sick maybe 15 minutes into it, and I stayed that way for the rest of the time.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I was miserable, and my friends felt so bad. But I'm like, it's not your fault, because I really thought I was good. I was like, maybe I should have took a precaution and had a Dramamine. But when you take the Dramamine, it's like being high. It makes you high.
I know.
So you can't enjoy anything because you're high. So I was like, okay, I'd rather be sick than high. But being sick, I kind of missed everything. I couldn't have no fun. I couldn't have no cocktails. It was awful. But I digress. Insty-who.
No, the interesting thing I wanted to talk to you about also about this movie is,
okay,
what'd you think about the way it was edited together? It's told in a very unique way that's unlike a lot of these survival movies.
Yeah, they...
Because I know some people really liked it. Other people had huge problems with it.
It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me to the point where it made me jump out of the story. So that wasn't a problem for me. But I can see some spots that were a little funky. Like the spots where they were... sitting on the pier, like those scenes that took place with them sitting in the pier and walking through the marketplace and stuff. It was like that. It kind of came out. It was weird. Like, they had to tell that story to get to him, to get to the friends running into him that asked him to take the boat out. Like, I get why those scenes were there, but the way the place that they were placed into the film was kind of weird.
That's for me, the way that the movie was told, like, it opens in a certain way, like there's suspenseful opening, right?
Right.
And you're kind of like sucked right into the movie.
Right.
And then it's like the relationship is kind of intermingled throughout the movie, and there's little elements of it. And I liked that, and I felt like it was a very interesting way of telling the story.
But that particular one was kind of weird.
It was, but you know what also helped hurt the film for me? Sorry, my God, that was bad. What hurt the film for me was that by doing that, I didn't have that emotional connection. Like, it wasn't until the very end where they started showing the photos that I felt like I got teary-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to feel more of an emotional connection throughout the movie. And I didn't have that. Like, it didn't have that sucker punch for me.
I agree with you. I didn't feel emotional about the film as much as I felt emotional about my own personal experience in relation to the film.
And if you didn't have that experience, you think you would even have even less of?
That would probably. I mean, it's hard to say, but I probably would. But I just... I mean, this young lady is in her 20s, yes?
Yeah.
It's
23.
See, I'm just saying. It's a shame and disgrace that this child is 23 years old, and in order for her to get work in Hollywood, she has to produce her own films. What is that? That's annoying.
Yeah.
That's annoying. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that she has to do it. And it's not like she's doing it because she wants to do it. She's doing it out of a necessity because we're in the place where we're at. Which brings me to, so okay, before we move forward, sure. How many tomatoes would you give American Animals and Adrift?
3.5. Both of them. Yeah, they're both on the same playing field for me.
I give them 4.
Okay.
I give them 4 tomatoes.
Okay.
I give them 4 tomatoes. What the hell? So let's talk about some of the news that has hit this week. The biggest news that hit, and this made me laugh because I know that you did a little stint over at Meet the Movie Press.
Yes.
Over the weekend, and you and Steven had a little discussion about The Crow. And at one point, I remember y'all were like, anybody who doesn't like The Crow is an a-hole. And I was like, okay, well, here I am. Because
you don't like it?
No, I didn't like it. And it's
a very white movie.
It's a very white movie, and it's a cult classic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know too many black people that do like The Crow, to be honest. I'm sure there's some out there, but I wouldn't be one of them. So having said that.
It's like that going way back. we're going to throw back here on the show. Remember when
Sunday?
We were talking about the... Insane Clown Posse, when I saw that movie at South By, and you were like, what is this?
I'm like,
it's a white thing.
Oh, it's like, why? Yeah. Why? Why?
That's The Crow. The Crow was interesting because that movie came out with The Mask. Remember Jim Carrey's The Mask? They came out around the same time. Yeah, and it was a big Halloween thing.
And I liked Jim Carrey.
But you did not like The Crow.
No,
Brandon Lee as The Crow.
You know,
Carla's giving that a thumbs down.
She's not a fan.
I'm
not having it. But the news that came out about it this week is that they were going to remake the film. And the minute I heard that, I was like, why? 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 And then on top of that, they announced that the star and the director are no longer doing it.
Right.
So what do you think the odds are of that actually getting...
Never. Never. I mean, it's funny because someone joked in the comments on that show and said that Blumhouse needs to do it. I feel like that's the only way it's going to happen.
Yeah, they would be the right match for that, I think.
For sure. Because they can keep the budget down. They'll find someone to probably get an unknown person.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll work. They can't get a big name person to do it. There's too much criticism.
I can't even. And then I just want to talk about the fact that I'm a diehard Star Wars fan, so the Star Wars chapters would have to be totally busted, broke down within an inch of his life for me to hate any of them. There's some that I dislike, like Phantom Menace, like I've said before.
Yes.
But there's, you know, but it would take a lot for me to hate them. But having said that, I'm segueing into where I'm leading to.
Okay.
Having said that, audiences domestically are not really feeling Solo. Solo kind of squeaked past Deadpool 2 with 29.3 million over Deadpool's 23.3 million. And the film that we just discussed, Adrift, took 11.5, which, you know, that's a modest turn in for something of that nature.
It's a little under what they were predicting, but I think... Why we're seeing this resurgence of all these like little small films, and I think, was it you, Anthony, who was talking about this, where we were talking about those middle of the road movies that we don't get as much anymore?
When were we talking about this?
He's on like... Friday.
Yeah, like those little indies that produced by A24 or Annapurna, like
yeah. I think it's interesting to me because these types of movies, typically, unless they're released during Oscar season, don't really see much of an audience anymore.
No.
But if this year has shown anything so far, Book Club has done decent.
Mm-hmm.
Drift has done decently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even a crazy thing like Upgrade, mm-hmm. which I do highly recommend, by the way, does pretty good. That actually did better than they expected.
Do you think that these box office numbers, because even American Animals grabbed 140 between four theaters, which isn't that bad,
no.
between four theaters in New York and L.A. That's not bad at all. And that's a new MoviePass acquisition in accordance with The Orchard. So MoviePass is kind of like inching in there. Do you think that any of this and all of this probably is... And as far as the indies are concerned, probably is having this effect because of Harvey Weinstein?
No. I think
because of him dropping out of the scene.
Someone pointed this out, and I think, I forgot if there was an article on it a couple of days ago.
There was an article in the LA Times about that today.
About MoviePass?
No, about Weinstein and his effect on the indie film.
No, I think MoviePass has had an impact on indie film. Because what I'm thinking is, by having something that costs a flat fee per month,
mm-hmm.
people are taking risks and seeing stuff that they would not normally
see. That's absolutely, I agree with you on that. Because if they pay that flat fee and then they can just go to the movie theater, it's taking the financial hardship out of going to the movies. Because movies now are expensive.
Right.
I mean, think about it. Just the general admission at some theaters ranges anywhere between like $11 and $18 per ticket. That doesn't include your parking. That doesn't include snacks
popcorn,
if you want them.
Yeah.
So by the time you end up leaving, it's like if you're doing this by yourself, it can easily be $40, $50 every time you go to the movies. That's a lot of money.
Yes.
Especially if you're an avid moviegoer who likes to see, two, three, four, five films a week. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, even if you see one a week. I mean, I have it, and this is what, if I wasn't doing this, this is where I would probably go twice a week. I always get a popcorn, I always get a soda. So right off the bat, if I was living in LA doing that, $35 minimum,
that's
probably close to 45.
That's what I'm saying. It's a
and
lot
just
of
for
money.
Me, not me and
yeah,
Ashley.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And if it's a date,
if it's
a date, then it's not just the popcorn and stuff at the movies. That means it's dinner or, happy hour or something beforehand or afterwards. I mean, that's easily an over $100 evening. And that's really a lot of money. So MoviePass has exponentially really kind of taken that financial hardship out of going to the movies every week for a lot of people. And so you're absolutely right. A lot of people will go to the movies to see films that they probably never would see before because they don't have that financial stress of, which movie do I pick, this one or this one? They can see whatever they want.
Yeah.
So
and the thing is, and this helps the system too, because we've heard this. We say this because we're critics and we watch a ton of movies. there is something refreshing. Even if Adrift, I wouldn't say it's the best movie ever. I gave it a 7. Like I'm on my critic scale on We Live Entertainment. But there is something refreshing about coming out of a movie like this as opposed to coming out of something like Avengers or Star Wars or Deadpool. It's something that feels like there's passion there. That's not just made to sell tickets, to put butts in seats. It's there.
There's a passion to get people to go out and see movies because it was about to become a dying art form.
Oh.
Because people weren't going out.
No.
People were staying home and they were streaming via Hulu, Netflix, Vudu, Amazon, whatever, iTunes, whatever outlet was the least expensive and required the least amount of travel is what people were starting to do.
Yeah.
And therefore, the movie studios were starting to lose money because people were like, why am I going to go out and see this when it's going to be on pay-per-view in a couple of months anyway? I'll just stay at home and stream it.
Yeah.
So MoviePass is really, you're right, they've taken the...
Yeah, I mean, people can criticize them left and right. I mean, their system, they're wonky. They don't know what they're doing right now in terms of...
Yeah, they've gotten a lot of criticism.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
sure.
They're like, first you can only see a movie once, and then it had to be within a 24-hour period, and then you couldn't see it again, and then...
I think it's a learning curve for them, too.
I mean, they don't know. It's new. It's a new idea. But I admire this company so much because they're backing films that most people wouldn't back.
Right.
They've come out and said this publicly that they don't want anything to do with Rotten Tomatoes. They don't
people are dogging Rotten Tomatoes.
It's there needs to be a game changer with this, okay? Like, the thing is that, yes, I realize that there's fresh and rotten, and then they're certified fresh, but there's not really much of a middle ground with that. And I think they really need to figure out a way to focus on the middle ground, because that's what 80% of movies that come out are. You either like them or you don't, but that's all up to a person to check out and understand if they're going to like it. Because film is subjective. I think that's something
it's
that
like
we
art, and I've
we
said
forget
that numerous
it all the time.
Film is art, and it is subjective. You either like the painting that you're seeing and you want to purchase it and put it in your home, or you'd rather just leave it in the museum and not ever see it again. So, yeah it
it's
is.
Like,
it's very subjective.
What's the guy who does the cans, the Campbell soup cans, the art guy?
Andy Warhol.
It's like, it's like some people look at that and they're like, man, this is brilliant. And then other people's like, well, that's just a picture of a Campbell soup can. Thank you.
Let me just tell you, ZSB in the chat room agrees with you, Scott. She says, I agree. A lot of these films would not be seen without MoviePass, but it seems like they are changing the rules due to movie theaters or more companies themselves. So she's not sure how long MoviePass will last.
I want to give you a little bit of feedback about this, too. It's the Menzel rant right now. So here's the thing. What people don't realize is that movie theaters exist for concessions. That's they get a very small amount of the ticket sales. I think it's somewhere between $2 to $5. If they're charging a full price ticket.
Exactly.
Which is not that much considering how many people work there, from the people who clean up the popcorn at the end of the day to the people behind concessions, ticket sales, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what the concern should be is that if you have MoviePass, what you should be doing if you love the brand is that you should be buying something from your favorite theater when you go. And I know it's overpriced. You don't have to. I know, because I'm a popcorn-aholic. I like every movie. I have to have a popcorn, and it's like $7 or $8 for that.
Do you have it with butter or without butter?
Of course, I have it with butter.
Oh,
yes, I know.
It's like overprocessed.
That's what Ashley
grease.
Says. She's like, "Why do you put butter on this? Oh. You're ruining it." But yes, but I get it. I mean, it's $7, $8, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, "This is ridiculous. I'm paying this much." But if you ever wondered why that was, that's the reason. They have to fund all those people working there. Building, you know how much rent costs out here in LA and New York for a huge building like that?
No, it's expensive.
Yeah,
that's
so
for sure.
That's the reason. And I think people, if you have MoviePass, I'm not saying, you know, every time you go, you have to buy like $50 at the concession stand. But just think about that. Like, I know it's $4 for a package of candy, but that goes back into the theater. And people are always talking about theaters are dying and whatnot. And that's what keeps them afloat. I hate to say it.
The theaters are also starting to incorporate hot food.
Because
not everybody,
which I think is smart.
And they're starting to incorporate snacks that are gluten-free.
And alcohol, which is so smart.
You know, so, I mean, even Starbucks is trying to get on the alcohol train. So there's that. But, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you on that tip. Another film, just to segue.
Sure.
Another film that is doing really well, and you called this way ahead of time, but Avengers Infinity War has grossed $642.9 million worldwide. But guess who's on their tails?
Black Panther.
Nuh-uh. Deadpool 2 is inching on their tails.
Is it really?
$600 million.
Oh, my God. Wow.
$600 million. Deadpool 2 is right on their heels.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a fight. Everyone
was complaining. They were like, oh, okay, Deadpool 2 is not going to do as good. You know, the first weekend, everyone's like, oh, it was underestimated, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, okay.
So what other films that we didn't talk about did you like? You mentioned Upgrade, right?
Upgrade. Really, really well done. This is Blumhouse is doing it. If Blumhouse isn't low budget enough with their movies with 5 to 10 million, they're going even under with, but, you know, Blumhouse Tilt, which is like they're even lower.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a two-person movie, really. Mm-hmm. It's Logan Marshall Green, who looks like a young Tom Hardy. And he gets this technology put inside of him after an accident. And he becomes this killing machine for good reason. I don't want to spoil it. But it has elements of RoboCop, Terminator. It's just like a throwback to like those 80s sci-fi movies.
Oh, I love those movies.
Yeah.
Especially Total Recall.
It's a little violent at times, like it goes, but it's well choreographed. Yeah. There's a lot of humor, dark humor.
Okay.
Surprise. 82 minutes, nice and breezy. Goes down really smooth.
I'll try to check it out. Let's give some shout outs to people that are in the chat room with us today. Xavier Jones Jr., thank you so much. ZSB, thank you so much. ZSB Lou, sorry, my bad. Thank you so much for joining us in the chat room and watching Black Tomatoes. Tell your friends. So I think that's going to do it for us with this edition. But next week, we will be back.
Oh, okay, my gosh, we're going to have enough.
Let me crack the neck and take a deep breath before this one. Okay, here we go. And if I skip one, let me know. Next week, we will be talking about Ocean's 8 with all-female cast led by Sandra Bullock and Cate Blanchett. Hereditary, led by Toni Collette and Gabriel Byrne, which is a horror flick that they both have produced and are starring in. Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary about Mr. Rogers. Hearts Beat Loud, which was a Sundance favorite, starring Nick Offerman. If you guys don't know his name, he's from Parks and Rec. Really funny, funny, funny dude. And Hotel Artemis with an all-star cast featuring Jodie Foster and Sterling K. Brown. Did I miss anything?
Nope.
Okay.
You got them.
Phew.
I'm sure there's like one or two more that like snuck in there.
Sure there's one or two more that have snuck in that I have no clue what they are. But honey, that was enough. Like
my eyeballs are crossed from all of that.
I'm just saying. I'm just like, woo. It's a lot going on.
Yes. That is a busy week.
It's about to get busier because this is June. So right about now is the time where people start busting these movies out 2, 3, 4, 5 at a time in preparation for who's going to get the big buzz on the Oscars. So
yeah.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to Ocean's 8. That's like, I just love watching all female stuff. So having said that, love, love, love shouting out you guys. Thank you so much for joining us with another edition of Black Tomatoes. I am your host, Carla Renata. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can also check out any reviews of the films we discuss here on Black Tomatoes at thecurvyfilmcritic.com. And right after this, if you're not doing anything, hop on over to General Hospital after show. I'll be doing that as well.
Very nice. You can find me at weliveentertainment.com. If you're on Instagram or Twitter, my handle is The Other Scott M. And if you want to add me on Facebook, it's Movie Man Menzel.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that will do it from Scott, The Other Scott M, and myself, The Curvy Critic, at this edition of Black Tomatoes, episode 14. Check us out next week when we have a marathon of movies to discuss. See you next time. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.